Hello and welcome to American Girl Unboxed. I'm your host, Grace. I'm here today with Victor, and we have a special guest today. We have Sarah Grant Joriman, who is an administrator at the Holland Museum. So Sarah, can you tell us a little about you and what your life looks like right now?
As you said, I am the administrator at the Holland Museum. I work directly with the executive director and the communications and development team. I also help anywhere in the museum that is needed. When you work at the Holland Museum, you have many, many hats to fill. So we do whatever we need to do to get done. I am a mother of two children. I have a son who just started college. He's at Western. And then I have a daughter who is 13 years old. So she's in eighth grade right now.
Oh, that's so exciting. And your son and daughter, did they have any interest in American Girl?
My son did not particularly, but my daughter did.
Okay.
She got her first bitty baby on her first birthday. So, she's always been into them a lot.
I'm excited because Beta's going to get a bitty baby for Christmas this year.
So exciting.
Now, Sarah, for me, my personal connection to American Girl dolls started very recently, pretty much when we started this podcast. But we'd love to hear what's your personal connection to American Girl?
So I am a child of the 80s. I was born in 1980. So when I got my first one, it was still a catalog order. How my mother ever got the catalog, I have no clue.
I've heard so much about this catalog, too.
we have some in the exhibit. But I have no clue how my mother got a hold of the catalog at that time. But I most likely got my first, which was Kirsten, was my very first doll, probably about 1988.
Okay.
So I was rather young. And if it was about that time, it was also we had just gotten back from touring South Carolina and Williamsburg and stuff.
Oh,
so
fun.
We went to a lot of historical places, and the dolls like really just hit home with me. They brought that history back to my life. The stories are always great, but the most important part with the dolls was having to be able to touch hands-on history. The accessories to me were like the best part.
So this exhibit is like a perfect culmination of, I think, your like childhood,
oh, yeah,
your upbringing, and then your professional life. So that's awesome.
Yes.
And okay, I just have to say, so you have do you still have your 1988 Kirsten?
Yes, she's in the exhibit.
So she's a white body Kirsten.
Yes.
You know, yes. Those are highly sought after in the collector community. How awesome. And I do remember seeing her, and she's in great condition.
Thanks. Yeah. She went to the hospital.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she went to the Pleasant Company Hospital. We sent her to the hospital really early on, but that's why her hair is in good shape, because it was not.
Yeah, that's the toughest. That's the toughest part. So the reason we're here today at the Holland Museum is because there is an American Girl exhibit. And so we were just curious, like, how did that come to be?
So last year, we were trying to find a way to get families to come into the museum during the holiday season. We wanted them not only just to come in, but have a reason to stay and enjoy our spaces. So starting last year, our collections manager, Rick Jenkins, he actually brought in his personal Marvel collection. And then our visitor services guy was like, I have stuff to add to that too. And so last year we did a Marvel exhibit.
So
and
cool.
That brought in so many families and so many kids, and it was just so much fun. And then all the girls were like, well, can we do this with the American Girls? Because we're all like, we all have our own collections of American Girls. And so that's kind of where it started, was with off this Marvel exhibit that just popped up out of nowhere last year to get people to come in.
That's such a fun idea. And I know Victor and I are both bummed that we missed that exhibit.
Yeah, please, again, just let me know when it comes back, because I'm a huge Marvel nerd. So that is always exciting to hear that the museum is kind of very diversified in the exhibitions that you all kind of provide those that come and attend. Now, the whole process, I can imagine, had to have been quite the undertaking, and I know we as in Grace has Caroline that is part of your exhibit, and you had mentioned Kirsten as well, but can you just kind of walk us through what the process was like for sourcing all the dolls, the outfits, the accessories?
Yeah, so we started with finding out what the staff of the Holland Museum actually had. Good starting point.
Yeah.
Really good starting point. And we actually had quite a bit, but then we reached out, especially being staff of the Holland Museum, even if we're not in a history section of the museum, like I'm the administrator, we all have a love of history. So we all started with American Girls, and we always say American Girls is what got us into history. So what we didn't have, we went and talked to our friends, because obviously our friends in other museums also have the same thing. So that's really basically, our executive director was able to reach out, and she actually got some of the really the harder dolls that we thought we were going to have a harder time.
Nice.
So she was able to get us Kaya and Addie. Those were the two that were really important. We really, really, really wanted them in the exhibit. And so we were really happy when we were able to find those two. I mean, some got mailed. I mean, some shipped. They came from a lot of places. So,
were there any other challenges? So it sounds like you had certain dolls that you wanted to, you know, mm-hmm. that you were worried would be a challenge. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you like wanted but didn't get, like any big challenges that popped up other than that?
I would have liked to have Melody, but also at the same time, by the time we started getting all the dolls, we're like, okay, hold on, we might not have room. So there was a little bit of that problem too. The one that I would have liked to have gotten was Melody, because she is from Michigan and Detroit and stuff like that. But really, we didn't have many. Once we like reached out to friends and started asking, everybody was so excited. They're like, will you please put my doll in the exhibit? So like we actually had a soft opening for our volunteer Christmas party, and somebody brought us another Dutch Dancers doll. So
that's, yeah. I know when I created a spreadsheet for, so we were emailing and it, you know, we found that maybe we would be able to display a doll. Mm-hmm. And so Victor was like, you need to put together like just a list of all the dolls you have. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to put a whole spreadsheet together and, you know, to chronicle all the accessories and stuff. And so, you know, I was so excited to have Caroline, and I was like, it is that feeling of just, I don't know, it's so fun for some reason. Like, oh, I'm so excited that she's going to be on display and people will get to see her and interact with her.
So we've been very fortunate enough to really kind of walk through the exhibit. You kind of spoke to us about different pieces here and there, but are there any rare or particularly special pieces in the exhibit that visitors might be surprised by?
Yeah, so the American Girl magazine highlights a girl from Holland, Michigan. And what's really interesting about that is it was from spring of 1997, and the girl that was highlighted was Rachel Skolten. After she saw our little thing, she's actually reached out to us about it, which is really exciting. But what's really neat about that and why it's featured in the exhibit is it just ties our local girls to history.
Sure, sure, sure.
And it shows like, oh, we could be one of them. And so it was just really interesting to see it. Also with the emphasis on tulip time and the Dutch, the paper doll has like a Dutch costume on it. And I feel like especially people who grow up in Holland, they have a lot of memories of doing tulip time and the Dutch dancing and marching in the parades. And it's really part of their childhood. So,
absolutely. And I think it aligns really well with the design of your exhibit as well. Cause you mentioned you have these hands-on stations where you can be almost, you can sit into that time period. For instance, the ration cards for the Mali era, right? Very cool, very interactive. And so to have a doll from Holland, and then you have visitors that live in Holland come in, they can really kind of walk side by side a little bit to the historical component of American Girl.
Absolutely.
And for listeners, most of you probably caught on, but the featured part of the magazine is the doll, right? The paper mm-hmm. doll. And I don't know if Victor knows about those, but like each magazine would feature a girl, and it was really cool because it would go through like their history, or maybe you can explain it better. Like how did that work?
So the way that the doll is set up is there is a costume from different periods of women in her life, like in her family. So the Dutch costume was hers or her mother's. I can't remember exactly, but they also have like an example of like what somebody would have worn like 50 years earlier. So the dresses for the dolls had different periods to show like how her family would have developed in that area as well.
They're so cool. Mm-hmm. I still have a few. I subscribed from 99 to 01. Did you ever have the magazine?
I did not. The magazine was after, it was probably came out like when I was in college. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little too old for that part.
Well, so I know you mentioned you have Kirsten in there, and I did see that she has quite a few other accessories in the exhibit. Mm-hmm. What is that? What's the part of the exhibit that you feel like is the most fleshed out, has the most complete collection?
So this is actually my daughter's doll. It's Joss. She was the doll of the year from 2020. I love her scene because she's sitting in an Xbox chair playing Xbox.
So fun.
So I actually like that because I feel like that one is a cohesive like scene in itself.
Yeah.
But it was only because we had the room for that, so that we were able to do that. But also the big display case with all the history dolls in it, and at the bottom where Kirsten and Addie are having lunch. I love that part because every time I set my dolls up at home, they were eating. So because that chair, the table and stuff is mine. So that's how I always set my dolls up at home. And so it just like really makes me feel good.
Same. That is the lunch sets are my favorite. And the table and chairs, like we have kits and we already gifted that to our daughter, mm-hmm. and she plays with it almost every day, and she just has her like dolls eating and stuff. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, just a random aside, I'm curious if you don't mind sharing, what are the dolls like? So your daughter has Joss. Mm-hmm. Were there any other things from American Girl that she collected?
She had a Bitty Baby when she for her first birthday, she got a Bitty Baby. And then pretty much all of her American Girl stuff is up there, is in the exhibit. So it's the Joss with the Xbox
all the
and stuff.
Extras. Yep. Was that a doll that she chose herself, or did you pick it for her? Like, how old was she when she got it?
So she was 8 years old when she got it, which is really ironically, when I was prepping for this, I realized I think she was the same age as when I got my first one, which is really cool.
8 is a great age for your first
one. And she actually, one of the things we do with our children, especially with bigger toys, is we'll meet them halfway with the price. So she actually saved up half of that money to buy it herself.
Oh, cool.
And that was when we were at home with COVID. And so she saved up half and we met the other half. And so that was her first doll. I remember her getting it. She was so excited. And Joss actually comes with a hearing aid. So that was actually one of the hardest things to locate for this exhibit, was the hearing aid in my daughter's bedroom.
Oh, I bet. It's super tiny. Yeah. But very important part of Joss's collection. And I love that idea of having her contribute part, because I think that helps them understand the value of the doll, mm-hmm. and treat it, I think, as it should be treated. And she's in great condition. So clearly it worked well. So what has been the most fun or surprising part of putting all of this together?
How much fun we had as a staff. Like, we really got to know each other a little better through the American Girls, which I know probably sounds sappy, but it's true. Like, every time a new doll came in, like, we legit would stop whatever we were doing and go look at everything that came in that box, because why not, you know?
Yeah.
like, when you're working really hard all day and you have a new doll in front of you, I don't care how old you are, you're going to open it and play with it, because
100%.
That's who we are as people. and the accessories, like that type of part. So I think to me, just the building of the exhibit was just so much fun. And then also just learning about characters I didn't know, like Maria Grace. I didn't know, she was way after me and I didn't get to know her story very well. I think it's not one that's told, but I think it's one that just to me sounds really interesting to learn. So
I think that's been one of the best things about this podcast, like starting this podcast, is just American Girl really bonds people, or mm-hmm. like there's so many connections to it that even like I didn't have a doll growing up, but I still have this such a love for it, because mm-hmm. if you didn't have a doll, you probably read the books, or you probably had the magazines, or you probably did XYZ. And so it's just really cool. I think it's one of those things that you don't realize so many people around you have this in common.
Yes.
Until you bring it up, and then you can really share in that joy together.
Yes. I always say that people aren't supposed, I don't know, growing up, you were kind of an outcast if you liked history, but American Girls was kind of the way that you could geek out about it.
I love that. There's no judgment here when it comes to geeking out, whether it's Marvel, American Girl, or history, or all of the above. Please geek freely. This is a safe space. So, Sarah, were there any dolls or items that sparked childhood memories for the museum staff or yourself?
So, yes. In the case, when you first walk in the Spark Lab, there is a Pleasant Company activity set. And I will be honest, when that came into the office, I legitimately stopped everything I was doing and cried. That is actually an emotional. I had that when I was a child. And my husband and my son and I used to live in Colorado, in Fort Collins. And we had to move from Fort Collins to Michigan. And I had to leave some of my American Girl stuff behind. Wow. And it was like the activity stuff like that type. And that was one of the items I left behind. And I didn't know I left it behind because I spent years looking for it. And then I was like, it got left behind. And so when that came in the office, like, I legitimately stopped what I was doing and was like, had a tear in my eye.
Yeah.
But so that one's my personal story. But just as we were opening stuff, people were just like, oh my God, I remember this as a kid. Or everybody kind of had some of those same experiences.
I love that. I think it speaks to, you know, what American Girl has created is that, you know, these are characters, these are stories that are so relatable, but they're so connected to so many individual pasts. And, you know, of all the things, like, you could have named anything, but yours was so personal, and I appreciate you sharing that, because that had to have been quite the moment. Mm-hmm. How much time did it take for you to kind of recompose yourself and get back? I mean, not to like rush anyone into going to work, and I think you should appreciate those moments and take your time, but what a special moment. Like, what was it like? Kind of walk me through a little bit of like your kind of not coming down, but for lack of a better term, more like, what was your process and like, okay, like getting through it?
Yeah, no, one nice thing is, because we're in the back end, we get to actually open the items and look at them.
Yeah, so you have that time.
Yeah. So we went and looked at all the different items that were in there. And in that activity set, I know there's a cookbook, there's a play. I forgot what the other two items were. I think one's a journal, and then I can't remember what the fourth item was.
Is there a recipe book?
I know there's a recipe book because
you said cookbook. Yeah. I meant craft book.
Maybe there's a craft book in there. That's probably what it was. And the one thing I do have to say, I still do own that cookbook. That did not get left behind. And what's interesting is that cookbook is brought out probably every holiday season because it has a perfect place setting example in it. So,
oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. It has a really good place setting set up in there. So it comes out like almost every holiday season to set our table.
I'm curious, do you have a recommendation? So Katie and I tried to like cook from the recipe books and like do the crafts and stuff as we go through each girl. Do you remember any recipes from that book that stand out to you, Kirsten?
I have done her potato soup recipe, actually. And it's really good.
I've heard that. That's like on my list. I've heard that one is
it
really good.
It is such a basic potato soup recipe that it's a really good one to start with. Like, you know, you can always add stuff to it, but it's such a basic recipe that it's really good. Yeah.
Okay, good. That confirms that I would know should do that one. Now, you mentioning the activity books, that's kind of what got me into this too, because the first thing I started collecting as an adult, what were those things? Because I was thinking when Veda gets older, I would love to, just like you were talking about, it's an excuse to geek out about history. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I would love to get these things and then Veda and I go through them together and cook the recipes. And so that definitely for me was sort of my entryway, my gateway into then getting full blown back into American Girl. So I'm just curious, like, what about American Girl do you think it is that sparks so much joy in adults still?
So we were actually talking about this, and one of the main things I don't want to hate on Barbie, but I'm going to say something. We were talking about the difference between Barbie, which is what the majority of my childhood growing up is what I had before we had American Girls. The difference between them and the American Girls were the American Girls allowed you to be a kid and it allowed you to have adventures. Mm. Barbie did that, but it was also like how to make a pretty house. It was how to like make your, like that type of stuff. It was how to make pretty modern clothing, whereas the American Girls were like, oh my God, look at this really cool historical clothing. Side note, I can geek out on historical clothing more than I can American Girls. So it was like my first time I could play with historical clothing and see how it was actually constructed and put on the dolls. And as an adult, I have never lost that love of that part of it. Like, and it's just something that just doesn't go away. It's still part of you and you can still have the adventures, but I think at every age, it's a different adventure you have. And like you, especially when I had my daughter, like, and not that I didn't, like, I wasn't going to do it with my son because I absolutely would have, he just wasn't interested in it.
But
when I did it, like when my daughter, it was just like, I can finally share this with somebody and they will actually listen to me about it.
Thank you, Victor, for being that person for me. Yeah. I think that, you know, Pleasant Roland, the founder of the company, that's exactly why she created these dolls, because she was saying like Barbie is great for aspirational, like someday I'm going to be a doctor, like this Dr. Barbie or whatever. But there were, and then she looked and then there's babies, you know, where you can play like you're their mom or whatever. There was nothing that showed kids as kids.
Yes.
And these were some of the first dolls that did that. And I've said this on the podcast before, but like I only owned Barbies and I owned My Little Ponies and things like that. And I have some nostalgia for them, but it is not to the same level at all as American Girl, even though I didn't even have the dolls, but like just... I think, like you said, it just touches like that part of you that's like the whimsy and the wonder, and it stays with you through your life. Yeah. So
I don't think I ever got a Barbie after I got an American Girl. Like, honestly, and if I did, it was probably a one-off. Like, once I got American Girl, like, that's all that my family got me for probably the next 10 years of my life.
Wait, and I'm going to cut in one more question because I'm so curious. Like, so I saw that you had, so the table and chairs, are those handmade that you had for those Pearson?
Those are from Pleasant Company.
Okay.
They're her actual set.
It's Kirsten's
set. Yep.
So, because I did see you have also like the pot, like the her plates and dishware.
Yeah. So the some of the stuff on that table is mixed with Addie's stuff, because Addie came with a really cool pot. I don't know if anybody knows that. And when I was reading the instructions, they actually made it because it's a cast iron pot. You can use it.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
I was reading the instructions and putting it in there, I'm like, oh my God, you could actually use this. And it blows my mind. I've never had that. Addie's collection is not mine. So, but I thought it was really cool to put on that set.
Addie's collection is so cool. So you have the birthday set.
Mm-hmm.
And then can I ask what else you had from Kirsten that you remember?
So, sounds so late. Probably the only thing I don't have from Kirsten is her birthday dress.
Oh, wow. So you had a lot.
Yeah. I had pretty much, there's probably like a few items in there that I don't have, but I have pretty much all of Kirsten's and all of Samantha's collection.
What's your favorite? Oh, Samantha too? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going just totally off script, but I can't help it. What's your favorite Kirsten outfit and what's your favorite Samantha outfit?
So my favorite Kirsten outfit is her winter outfit. I absolutely love the sweater and that one. And then also her dirndl.
Yes.
Best one.
Super hard to find.
I absolutely love that costume because it's just so beautiful. Her sweet little Swedish dirndl one. But I also love her winter one with the wool skirt and the little sweater that goes with it. It's so cute.
I think Kirsten's collection might be my favorite. It's hard to, there's so many good ones, but I also, her sweater is so beautiful. That is like the last thing I need from her original outfits until it's like, that's like, I'm a car, like constantly just like looking for a good deal or something. But, and then what about Samantha? Did you have a favorite outfit from her?
I really liked her blue dress, but I don't remember which dress that was. It was blue with the white pinafore over the top.
Yeah. Or are you thinking of her bathing suit?
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's
her play dress.
It's her play dress, yes. I think. Yeah. Yes. That was probably one of my favorites from her. I liked Kirsten way more than I liked Samantha, which I know is not like really. I know everybody loves Samantha, but I'm more of a Kirsten fan.
I'm also a Kirsten fan.
And then my last doll that I got was Felicity. So, yeah.
I love hearing you talk about your excitement over Kirsten, over Samantha. It just, I think, goes to show just, again, really that emotional piece that you can really just connect to these dolls. Have you noticed, now the exhibit hasn't been on for too long. It just recently started, I think, last week, right?
Yeah, Friday was the first day.
Now, have you been able to witness some of the people coming through? And tell me a little bit about maybe some of the reactions you're seeing that just make you think like, okay, we made a good decision bringing this here.
So it was actually the very first girl that came in. She was really little. She's probably under 5, but she came in with her doll and her mom. And it was like, first of all, everybody bringing their dolls is adorable. I saw a picture the other day with adults bringing their dolls in, which is like just melting my heart, because I was like, well, of course you're going to bring them with you, because why wouldn't you? But this little girl, like, and she was very standoffish. She, you know, didn't like talking to people, but her and her mom were going through the whole exhibit. And then at the end, I was like, don't forget to tell your mom to take you upstairs. There's a little studio place for the kids, for you to play with your doll. The girl almost like jumped up and down and like started dragging her mom out of it. It was like the most adorable thing. But I was like, there's a theater up there that your doll can play in. And she was so excited about it. And it's just, it's like the same thing last year with Marvel that I saw, like,
yeah,
the day after Christmas, or it was like a couple days after Christmas, I was in here and there was this little kid with his new little Marvel shirt on, his new little Marvel wallet. Like, you knew he got it all for Christmas.
Oh yeah.
And he's just like so excited to come. And you're starting to see the same thing with the girls and everybody coming for American Girls. Like, they have the little backpacks with their dolls in them, and it's adorable.
I love that.
Because I never had the backpacks.
They sold those too? That's amazing. See, I'm learning even more. I think the theater that you mentioned, that we you got to show us mm-hmm. upstairs probably might be one of my favorite pieces of this exhibit. It's just so, so cool.
Yeah, that theater is super cool. It's like for Rebecca because I think she's into theater. I don't know too much about Rebecca yet, mm-hmm. but it's an Our Generation Theater, yeah. which is really good quality. And I've like been thinking that I might want to get Veda some stuff from there too as like accessories. So this has sort of like sealed it for me because it looks really nice.
When we visited earlier, Michelle, the executive director, spoke to me and told me that you all are taking photos of those that want of them visiting the exhibit with their dolls. So that little girl and maybe others, like, that's so cool that you're all kind of creating almost like a scrapbook, if you will, to kind of like almost commemorate this like event, this exhibit for folks. Who came up with that and how are you all sharing those to let people know, hey, you know, bring your doll. It's okay.
So probably Michelle and Kate, Kate is our communications and marketing and development yes. person. So I'm pretty for sure Kate probably came up with that because she's pretty good at that stuff. But I know I've seen some pictures. We are cautious of posting children on our websites or
sure,
anything like that.
Absolutely.
So that's why the one picture that did get posted was of adults holding yes. the dolls. So we are cautious about that. But, you know, if you ever told us, oh, yeah, you're absolutely fine, you know, feel free. But also, if you take pictures and you're posting them on Facebook, tag us. Tag right. the Holland Museum. Because
that is good to know.
We would absolutely, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever, we would absolutely love to see on them, too.
So absolutely.
That's why we have the selfie station.
Yes, which we had our daughter take a, not a selfie, like we took a picture of her, of this basically American Girl box, and so she became an American Girl right mm-hmm. there, right as you walk into, is it the Spark Lab?
Yes, the Smithsonian Spark Lab.
What a cool area for if you're a school or if you want to bring like a bunch of kids or yourselves to kind of really like put hands on to the imagination of that time period. We had a great time. There's this wind tunnel where you can create, and I think I got this cup with a, it was a coffee filter. I attached that to the cup and I even got like some paper clips to weigh it down and it was just floating in there for quite some time. So I had a blast as an adult kind of just like putting, you know, my imagination to the tips of my fingers with the, all the different pieces that you put in front of me to try and create something to interact with this wind tunnel. So that Spark Lab was very cool for me to kind of walk through with our daughter and have her, you know, scoot these little toy cars down a ramp. Now, when it came to the design of that space, how did you all come up with all the different components to American Girl's version of the Spark Lab?
So that was Lauren came up with a lot of that, and she's in charge of our education department, Lauren Stevens. And with the Smithsonian Spark Lab, we are given activities that we have to have out at certain times, and then it comes to us to take them and relate it to whatever we're doing in the museum at that time. So Lauren did a lot of the research for the exhibit. She's the one who did all the panels and all the activities for the exhibit, which was a lot of work on her part, and she did an amazing job. And through, I think, just by learning different aspects of every doll, she was able to be like, oh, this would actually apply to them. Like, we do have one that is a musical marble set. And so she attached that to Melody. So she just used different things. And like the space tunnel that you're playing with, she used Mary Ellen because that was part of the space race. So she just was able to take the activities that we had and apply them to the different dolls and their different, their different stories that they had.
So that's cool. So you figured out a way to make it work versus like saying, oh, we're going to do this space tunnel for Marielle. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of figured out what dolls would go where.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And one thing we have learned is never to pull the space tunnel out of the exhibit because that is like the most, I don't care how old you are. That is like the funnest thing to play with. Absolutely.
Yeah. That was where Victor, my dad and my daughter spent almost the entire time.
Yeah. We were going through so many different designs and iterations of our little flying machines. So thank you for keeping that in. And I look forward to seeing how else it gets incorporated with whatever comes through.
Definitely, definitely.
So as a final takeaway, what do you hope visitors will get from this exhibit?
I hope they have an education of what the American Girls and Peasant Company means, especially to women today.
Yeah.
Not just girls. It means a lot to women in their lives. They've been around for 40 years, and I don't think you can have anything that's lasted that long not have some type of a pull on people as they grow up and they learn new things. One of the things that I always found was interesting was American girls in their stories never shied away from reality, which I think is really important in it was always really important to me. Mm-hmm. Whatever the stories that went through those girls, they weren't all like, we're going to the mall and going shopping. Like, they were real stories that real people deal with and have to learn how to navigate. And they saw that within those girls. And outside of the, they had really cool clothes, they had really cool accessories, there was a lot of emotional and mental part of those stories that I think hit home with a lot of people. And I don't know if a lot of people realize how much that actually influences us today. But yeah, I just hope that a lot of people can not only share that experience among generations as they're coming in, like you said, you brought your grandpa, you know, your father, you and your daughter. So that was three generations there right there.
Yeah.
Just to be able to share that among generations, I think is amazing. And just to see how people grew up from all those stories.
That is so well said. We appreciate your time. This has been amazing. We honestly, I can't tell you how many people DM'd me or messaged me about this saying, Grace, do you know this is happening? Because again, it isn't, I don't think we really clarified, but it's in Holland, Michigan, and we do live in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So we were so excited to have this opportunity.
Yeah. And I have to add that it was quite the serendipitous moment of me coming, taking time from work to just quickly visit. And I came into this museum thinking like, boy, I have this crazy idea that I have to pitch. I'll just tell them that we have a podcast, see how this goes. And sure enough, I walk in. You all were, I think, haven't opened yet. Or I think you were open. But as soon as I walk in, you all actually were having a meeting about this exhibit. And yes. So I remember speaking to the receptionist as I walk in. And I said, hey, I have this podcast. It's about American Girl. And he goes, wait one moment. They're actually having a meeting about this right now. And so you all took the time and just really were super engaged, super excited about us coming here. And we can't thank you enough for allowing us to be a part of this, but also for, you know, putting a really, really amazing collection together and allowing us to really experience it in a super unique way. So kudos to you all. You all did an amazing job and we can't thank you enough.
Thank you guys very much. And thank you for having us on your on the podcast. This is absolutely great.
We're so excited. And thank you to the listeners. We hope you tune into a future episode soon.